Hello, welcome again to the Macro and Volatility Podcast, where we discuss the world of investing through the lens of cross-asset and derivative frameworks. My name is Michael Purvis of Tallbach and Capital Advisors, a macro research firm for institutional investors. I'm here with my good friend and intellectual sparring partner, Josh Silva.
Hello, I'm Josh Silva, Pacific Partners, an investment fund for institutional investors. We focus on generating alpha and reducing risk through the use of derivatives. Today is Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. So, Michael, let's start by talking about the gold rally. Gold is up more than 30% since the October lows and has continued to eke out fresh highs. This has happened despite a strong dollar, higher rates, and an increasingly non-dovish Fed. Why is this happening?
You know, Josh, it's been a really fascinating gold rally. We have seen gold rally with a consistently stronger dollar and stubbornly high nominal and real interest rates. And it seems to shrug off so many of the typical cross-asset relationships here. So, you know, why is gold rallying? I guess that's the question here. And it comes back to central banks. The Central Bank of China, the PBOC, is the biggest one. They've been adding at record volumes. That's part of a longer, broader discussion on central banks in Asia reweighting more towards gold. But it's not just Asian central banks. The Bank of Poland has also been adding a lot there. One of the interesting things about this rally, and this is the Macro and Volatility Podcast, so is we should talk about the volatility. And the volatility of this gold rally has been unusually low, extremely low. In fact, the GVZ, which is an index that tracks implied volatility on gold, it was at record lows through most of this gold rally here. Normally, when gold rallies, the vol picks up, as you well know. Here. So that's another interesting thing. But I think if you stand back and if you think about it as being a central bank driven rally and not what I'd call a quote unquote Wall Street rally, that explains why volatility has been low, because the central banks have been coming in, accumulating gold, but not really trading gold the way you and I might. And I think that's a really key differentiator here. What I'm intrigued by is that it seems like the vol has picked up recently and that maybe it's going to become more of a Wall Street rally as gold continues to edge out fresh highs here. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting is that this hasn't been a spec rally, as you pointed out, that this has been a central bank rally. The fact that gold has rallied alongside with equity markets is unique. I typically view gold as a risk-off asset. So I admit, I'm surprised by this. I was wrong in what I thought gold would do in relationship to what equities have done over the last few months. But this move above 2,400 in gold that we've seen since the end of Q1 has gotten interesting in the sense of when I think interesting is when vol markets get interesting. I don't think spot markets are ever interesting, but that's because I'm a vol nerd. Gold vol and upside skew have both moved higher with this last move that occurred at the end of the quarter. This has occurred at the same time as equities have started to see weakness. And more importantly, as the 10-year yield has gone above 4.3%, which seems like was the big sticky spot for the 10-year over the last, I don't know, six months or so. When that occurred, we saw the MOVE index come off its lows at the end of October and back up to the high territory as everyone's like, oh my God, the Fed isn't going to cut rates seven times, which we've all been saying for the last few months. We've been agreeing to the fact that we didn't view the Fed was going to lower rates. We thought the Fed would be higher rates for longer. The VIX moved higher, which again is something we also thought because we thought that the picture wasn't done. The Fed's job wasn't as simple as what everyone thought it was going to be. So again, this move higher in the VIX is something that we've also talked about. But what we've also seen is the move of skew. So the ability to buy puts from like almost multi-decade lows at the end of the quarter back to sort of a more normal range. So people are buying protection in equities as people are getting more concerned about the inflation picture, the Fed, the 10-year, and quite frankly, this gold rally. It's all happening at the same time.
Right. And just to add on to that, Josh, you know, we've had this reassessment of interest rate cuts steadily from the 7+ back in mid-January to where we are right now. That's been most of that's been sort of a slow motion adjustment process. That adjustment process is picking up speed here. One of the things that I'm highlighting as a sort of a Q2 risk here, sort of a pan asset risk factor, is that if we have other commodities, not just gold, but oil, maybe copper, some of the industrial metals continuing to rally here into Q2, that is going to not only help reinforce the Treasury sell-off and get those 10 years potentially back to 5%, it's also going to be damaging to consumer sentiment at the same time there. And so that could be a real problem for how equities are going to be trading this year, if and when that happens. So it's interesting to see, you know, the gold volatility story, the oil volatility story, the equity volatility story, all starting to mirror each other a little bit. And of course, you had the geopolitical tensions in the Middle East that were flaring up. They've calmed down a little bit, but I don't think they're going to be completely going away. And I don't think anyone should be too complacent about those types of risks, because, again, if you see re-heightened geopolitical tensions from the Middle East, that means higher oil. That means the next inflation prints we're going to get that Powell's going to have to contend with and the bond market has to contend with, you could see further upside surprises there.
Geopolitical risks tends to be bullish for commodities. I mean, it's sort of the general theme that we seem to come across. And I think that's a very important thing to keep looking at. I also think what's important to look at is the fact that the world banks, specifically the ECB and the Bank of Japan, are becoming more dovish. I mean, even this week, we've seen them talk about the fact that they're looking to lower rates as they're dealing with different recessionary issues. While the Fed, in reverse, has looked up and said, "Hey, you know what? Like, long rates higher for longer," which is making a very interesting picture. You know, we can continue to see a grind higher in commodities, whether it's gold, copper, oil. All of which you described, there's a general bid to it, it seems like, while we have a rising dollar, which is also something that we haven't seen in quite a while. So having commodities up, dollar up, is an interesting thing. That's a very, when people talk about stagflation, it's very difficult to get stagflation with a rising dollar, at least in my opinion. And where the Fed goes from here, I mean, we're at an inflection point. We're back up to 4.6 in the 10-year. It seems like people are getting nervous that we're heading to 5. See it in the moon, move, not the moon, the move. What the Fed can do here with inflation, is inflation, you know, going to start eking back up again? Is the sort of core inflation that we saw in the last CPI print more sticky than we thought? We're going to find out. We're in a big inflection point.
Yeah, I just you brought up a good point on the central banks. I think the way I look at it is right now, the Fed is the marginal hawk, relative to the ECB. Disagree with you slightly on the notion of central banks, because I do think there's a strategic retreat away from the ultra dovish policies we knew during the first stages of COVID and leading up to that there. And I think, it's too early to tell whether, the ECB will ever go back to the negative rate policies that it had on for so long. And of course, the BOJ, of course, is made strategic steps there. But right now, certainly relative to the euro, the Fed is the marginal hawk, and normally that's gold bearish. But I think in this case, with central banks really loading up so much, and of course, there's the broader issue of you can't find a fiscal hawk in Washington on either side of the aisle, and I think the broader markets are seeing that, right? Yeah. The whole world is seeing that.
Yeah, and the last point I want to make is, even though this sounds like from a macro perspective, that I'm bearish, I still think that earnings are driving equities. People sometimes forget, they spend too much time thinking about macro and global macro events. At the end of the day, the economy's still humming along. And so all these things can fix themselves, and then we're going right back up to new highs. It's just important that for me to point out that risk factors are more interesting than they were 3 weeks ago at the end of the quarter.
And this is coming on top of a great rally in 2023 and a strong year to date, even still with its hiccups there. And I think, I do expect to get, some more hiccups there, but I'm certainly constructive on equities into year end. There, and I completely agree that I think this type of rally is not about PE expansion or major PE adjustments up or down. It's really about if the stocks are going to create good earnings growth, they're going to be bought, and if they don't, they're not going to be bought.
Exactly. Well, that's it for today. Again, this is Josh Silva, Passaic Partners. You can find me on Bloomberg, the website, www.passaicpartners.com, or the Passaic Partners LinkedIn page.
And this is Michael Purvis of Tall Walking Capital Advisors. You can find me on Bloomberg or on LinkedIn. Thanks very much for listening. Until next time.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not investment advice. The information, opinions, and views expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended as investment advice. The opinions expressed may not align with Passaic Partners' views or its client strategies. Market forecasts are speculative and should not be the sole basis for investment decisions. Consult your financial and tax advisors before making any investments.